Well, good afternoon. Happy last day of unleavened bread. It's here already and almost gone, too. Well, I hope for everybody it has been one of the best feasts of unleavened bread that you've ever had. I hope that you've had a lot of fun. I hope you've spent a lot of time with your brothers and sisters. Hope that you've learned a lot, that you've done a lot, and that you feel like you've drawn closer to God than you ever had before. I hope you ate great unleavened bread all week long, especially the desserts. Those are the best. I hope everybody didn't accidentally eat a donut. But you know, we spent all week doing this, and now in just a few more hours, it'll be over. And here's the question on my mind as we come to this point, and maybe it's been on your mind as well. What next? We've spent this past week and the time leading up to it in reflection and self-examination, looking at ourselves to see what we can do better in following God more faithfully. We've put out the old leaven, both physically and spiritually, and we've replaced it with unleavened bread and with the righteousness that only comes from God. We've focused on that new life that's in us through Jesus Christ. But what next? What about for you and me next week? What about 2 weeks from now when we can barely remember what we did this week? It would be easy, I think, and I think we've probably all experienced that before, coming off a festival when we have a spiritual high like this, when we've spent so much time together and with God, it'd be easy to lose your momentum a little bit, to get distracted and caught up in all those little things that get in the way. It'd be easy, maybe just in one little way here, one little way there, to start slipping back into some of those bad habits and to stop working on the good habits like we heard about this morning from Mr. Phelps. It'd be easy to start getting back into old ways of thinking. You ever feel that way when you're coming out of a festival season and it almost feels like the spiritual doldrums, it's just a little bit of a downtime? Well, if you do, you're not alone. And actually, you're in pretty good company. Because that's just what happened to a group of guys called the apostles, the disciples, almost 2,000 years ago, coming off this same time of year. Because after Jesus' death, after his crucifixion, they were lost. They were in a bad place. It's not hard to see why. They'd abandoned their Lord and Master in his greatest moment of need. The one who directed them, guided them, gave them the words of life that they knew they needed was gone. He wasn't with them anymore. They didn't realize it yet. But before his crucifixion, Jesus left them with something that should have given them hope if they would have just realized and really saw what he was saying to them. And looking back for us today, now that we do know what he was saying and we can see what was really being done there, it should give us hope today as we think about it moving forward. He told them that when he was gone, he would send the Comforter to them. And he said that he himself would come to them. Please turn with me just really quickly to John chapter 20. Because when Jesus did come to them, he appeared to them after his crucifixion, and he told them exactly what he did mean when he was telling them that the Comforter would come to them. John chapter 20, let's read verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In this one very simple, very short statement, we see the core of why we don't have to get stuck in spiritual doldrums, in downtime, why we don't have to let up and let down after the days of unleavened bread, why we can keep our momentum and our focus moving forward. Because built right into Jesus' instruction to his disciples around the same time of year was a bridge to the next festival, to the Feast of Pentecost. He was giving them teaching about the Holy Spirit that still gives us hope and direction almost 2,000 years later. I'd like to go just over a couple ideas that I think can help us all just keep that focus, maintain that right frame of mind and move forward with enthusiasm as we exit this festival and we move toward Pentecost. Remember what he said to them, that he would not leave them alone. He would come to them. And he did come to them on a couple occasions, didn't he? Each time he would just miraculously appear to them. Sometimes he'd just pop up in the center of the room out of nowhere. And every time he did, he offered some new instruction or some new encouragement, something to just keep them going a little bit longer. And it was his occasional presence with them and teaching and instruction that got them through this most difficult time in their lives. After he was gone, what were they left with again? Their doubts and their fears. What about you and me? Do we need to have him miraculously appear in our kitchen every now and then just to give us a little bit of encouragement? Do we need him to teach us new things that we haven't heard before right there by our side? I mean, if the disciples needed that, is that what we need too? Well, the answer to that question is found in that verse that we read earlier and what he said to his disciples that time when he appeared to them. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And they didn't have the benefit of that Spirit yet to help them understand what he meant and to give them the courage and to give them the right frame of mind to follow him completely. When he came to them, they were bolstered, sure. When he was gone again, it was just them, just their human minds. But here's the really amazing thing that we can take hope in today. This is what he was trying to tell his disciples that they didn't quite comprehend yet. And this is the thing that bridges the Festival of Unleavened Bread that we're just ending now with the Feast of Pentecost that will be coming up too soon. He doesn't have to appear to us occasionally in our kitchen because he lives in us all the time, every day of our lives through the Holy Spirit. We've been eating unleavened bread all this week, and it represents that righteousness that's in us through the presence of Jesus Christ, through the presence of God, through the Holy Spirit. It comes from them. It doesn't come from us ourselves. And the implications of that are so far-reaching, because when we have the presence of Christ within us, when we have His Spirit working in us, helping us to do what needs to be done and to follow Him, it doesn't just change us just a little bit. It changes us completely. It begins a process by which we truly do become a completely new creation. We can avoid the spiritual doldrums. We can stay enthusiastic and stay focused, stay motivated to be focusing on the right things for the next, days, weeks, months, into Pentecost and beyond. If we remember that Spirit is within us and leading us, and if we yield to it and let it guide us. We heard about maybe the most amazing aspect of this entire thing earlier today in the sermon. Let's read just a little bit more about that right now. If you'd turn with me to 1 Corinthians. We'll go to chapter 2 in the book of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 2, let's go ahead and we'll start reading here in verse 14. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" And here's the kicker. Here's the crux of the matter. "But we have the mind of Christ." It's an incredible statement. And again, I think the full implications we don't even really understand yet. We will. We don't yet. What does that mean for us, though? What does that mean come sundown tonight when the Feast of Unleavened Bread is gone? What does it mean in 2 or 3 weeks when we get busy again, we get back to our jobs, back to school, back to family responsibilities, when our cars break down, when things get a little difficult? Well, if we have the mind of Christ in us, which he says we do through the Holy Spirit, what can we do to make sure that we stay focused through Pentecost coming soon, and way beyond that? Well, I think, again, the answer is in our Bibles, and it's in the teaching around that was given around this time of year. God made sure to equip us not just for the Passover, not just for the days of unleavened bread in this teaching, but for our entire lives and every aspect of what we do. Let's go ahead. Let's turn to one last scripture. We're going to stay here in 1 Corinthians. We're going to turn to chapter 11. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Well, for the past few weeks and probably even months, this has been our go-to scripture, hasn't it, as we've led up to Passover, when we've taken that to heart to try to examine ourselves, see what we can do better, see how we measure up to the fullness of the stature of Christ. But this isn't teaching that's just for the Passover. It's not just for the days of unleavened bread. Because Christ lives in us, and we have his mind through the Holy Spirit, this is something that we need to do all the time. We need to continually be in a mindset of self-examination. We need to continually be in the mindset that we need to be eating in of that bread of life, the bread of righteousness, the bread of sincerity, bread of truth. And that bread is Jesus Christ, of course, as he lives in us. Because just like it would be so easy to just go and fill our homes back up full of bread. We'll have all that done in a couple days, won't we? We'll have our bread boxes full of delicious things again. Well, it's just that easy also to fall back into old habits, into old ways of thinking. But like the saying goes, the best defense is a good offense. And that's why we have to stay active, leading into tonight, leading into next week, leading into the weeks and months ahead. We've got to stay active in self-examination. We've got to stay close to God and talk to him in prayer. We need to have him speak back to us through Bible study so that we can know exactly what he wants us to do and what he has planned for us. That's how we have hope, and that's how we have confidence for the future. We've got to stay humble before God. We can do that through fasting. We need to start really focusing on reflecting on that mind of Christ in us, what it means to have him in us, leading us, guiding us, and changing the way we think and the way we act. If we can do that, if we can just keep that focus and that enthusiasm that we've had this week, and we can push it forward and we can stay on top of it, God will make up the difference. He knows we can't do it on our own. He knows we're not perfect, and we're never going to be perfect on our own. He'll help us see what needs to be adjusted, those little changes that need to be made in the way you think or the way you talk or the way you act, the way you treat other people, the way you treat him. If we can do those things, he'll help us avoid the spiritual doldrums. He'll help us keep enthusiasm and drive toward Pentecost and beyond. Let's live every day focused on the mind of Christ in us, and let's live every day with an attitude of self-examination.